Lord, we just want to give you all the honor, Lord. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for intimate moments, Lord God, like tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just say, Lord God, that you are everything, Lord God, and nothing in this world, Lord God, compares to you. Nothing. And we bless you, Lord God, that we can come into your presence, Lord God, boldly. With freedom, Lord God, and stand here. And know, Lord God, that we are accepted, Lord God. We are your beloved. And Jesus has paid the price so that we can be here. Lord, what a privilege, Lord. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I just feel in my heart, sorry that it's English, but is there anybody that's got a testimony here tonight that just feels they want to share? Being off for a weekend and then coming back and then having to preach again, it's kind of, now I kind of feel how you guys feel when I put you in the pulpit, like that. I'm a little bit nervous tonight. What a shocker. And I've done this a while. But anyway, yeah, those of you who don't know, we've been away last weekend to Lombard's Bay. Not many English people over there, I can tell you. But yeah, it was wonderful. Had great weather, and God was really faithful, even though my nut was a bit sick and ill, and had a fever of almost 40. Yeah, so I was up most of the night because Danel also got sick, and she just told me, listen, I cannot wake up again tonight. So tonight is your baby. Anyway, and to make it even worse, the guest house where we stayed, they had given us special privilege of having Maynard there because it's a no children guest house. I didn't know that until after I've booked, and then we looked on the website, and that's where they said it. Anyway, so then I was awake because whenever that he said, then Daddy was there next to the cot. Anyways, yeah, tonight I'm going to share who is in your mirror. And yeah, when I told Danelle, you know, what I was going to speak about, she just kind of laughed at me. But anyway, I've got three songs on my heart. And in the week when I did this, you know, it's kind of like what Anna Marie just said now. You know, all the songs, it's the same theme. And yeah, all the songs that I've got here tonight, the same theme. We're going to walk through a couple of them. So, just want to ask, how much time do you spend in front of the mirror? Okay, let's make it like this. Who spends more than 15 minutes in front of the mirror in the morning? Nobody. Okay. Who spends less than 5 minutes before the... Okay. More than 5 minutes? Okay, hallelujah. We've got some honest people in the house. But anyway, some people like spending time in front of the mirror. And then I've been watching DVDs by Mark Gungor. I don't know if you've heard of the guy, but anyway, he teaches on, what do you call it? Laugh your way to a better marriage. And, you know, when... I gaan net toe maak laat. Maak op daar. Okay, I'm going to close it. Hello, hello. Anyway, we've been watching those DVDs, and that guy's a funny guy. But at least he knows what he's talking about. But I forgot what I wanted to say about it because I was distracted. Sorry. You know, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? And I'm getting a little bit deeper. Do you like what you see in your mirror? Sometimes. Okay. He was speaking about, and that was funny to me also, in the Song of Solomon. Just how that guy explains his wife. And then he goes with the feet was beautiful and the legs are beautiful. And then he gets to the stomach, and the stomach is kind of like a little bit wobbly. And yeah, that's just how the guy explains it. But she wasn't a beautiful woman, but he loved her. So anyway, he loves you just the way that you are. Just like I love my wife, even though she says some things. You know, one of those difficult questions. Do I look big in this? That's not good. But anyway, no, Danielle doesn't ask questions like that. But God is starting to work something in my heart. And yeah, this morning was just so blessed to me. I don't know how, who of you have been here this morning. But on Friday, God just spoke to us and he just said some harsh things to us. So I don't know if it's just difficult or some for most of us. I understand it with the kids and that. But if you can come to intercession, please do. Don't feel intimidated or anything, you know, praying in tongues, all of those things. Please, just come, okay? And be there and just come and experience how God speaks. Because what was shared and what Yvette brought this morning, you know, it was just confirmation of what God has already told us on Friday. And sometimes, you know, it's good stuff, and sometimes it's like, fix the pride in your heart. Or I'll fix it for you. But so I'm kind of on that plot at the moment. So God is really dealing with me just on those things. So when I look in the mirror, and getting a bit deeper here, then I don't like what I see too much. But God is gracious and God is good, and he will come and change that as time goes on. But we just need to be willing. Anyway, first song tonight. And it's an Afrikaans song. But just for the English people, I just put it up there. I don't know who of you have heard Bobby van Jaarsveld. Spielky, spielky. Marre, marre, my bro. Spielky, spielky. It's an Afrikaans song. It's a great song. Oh, I like it. But you know, this song is about him getting up and then looking in the mirror, and he's asking a question. But do the people that are out there get the same picture that I get in the morning when I wake up? So you can ask yourself the question, do the people around you see the same picture that you see in the mirror in the morning? Because some of us, most of us, are very good fakers. We can fake like you cannot believe. But anyway, you know, when we speak about things like this and looking at in the mirror, and especially when you think about when people look at you, you know, that's when things start getting touchy. Because this morning, I was kind of nervous because my first experience as a pastor, I was just appointed. It was a year back in Tigerberg. So I was just appointed pastor there. And Ross, he's the pastor there now, or still. He tells me the one evening that he's not going to be there, he's going to preach in another place, but Lucilla's coming to preach. And I must just, you know, sort everything out. Oh, hallelujah. It was a difficult time for me. Because now, you know, I'm not really there. I've been appointed. But I don't have the authority that Ross has, because he's the pastor. I'm just the associate, assistant pastor, whatever you want to call it. And we had an F4 preparation session in the evening service. So there was a lot of our people that were away in that. And when Lucille came in there, she just said, What are they doing there? And I said, oh, they're doing it for whatever. No. Go call them. They must be here. So now all of a sudden I have to go and call those people that we have already made long arrangements before that. No, no, no. You must come. So I just called some of them. And we came in. And then she asked me, is that all of them? No. And she was kind of giving me this look like, duh. So anyway, I listened to Mama, and I went and I fetched all the people. So when the mother of the congregations came to to preach here this morning. I was kind of nervous because I thought, hallelujah, Lord, help me. Anyway, but it was kind of silly because Danielle just laughed at me, you know. And but anyway, with my story is many times, you know, when we think of other people looking at us, we get a kind of a warped deal out of ourselves. And then you can kind of see where your heart's at. And, you know, God's sorting my heart out hectically the past couple of weeks. So, anyway. But how do you feel when you think of people looking at you? What do you think they see? What do you want them to see? Do you want them to see you looking, oh, he's such a nice guy? Now I sound just like Mark Gangor. When he speaks about the women, he's, he speaks like this. But anyway, or do you really want people to see you as you are? You know, it's kind of weird for me that we sometimes think, many times, that if I come to church and if I do things right and if I just look okay to people, then everything is fine. That's just stupid. But anyway, we all do it. We all want people to see us in a great way. We all want people to look at us and see, whoa, that's nice. And we are also afraid that people will think less of us when they really see us. I don't know if you've watched Avatar. I see you. Okay, I freaked out some people, yeah. Yes, the pastor has watched Avatar, all right? When they speak, it's like, I see you. Not just on the outside. I see inside you. I see you. So I'm praying, you know, and I'm asking God that we can become a family. And I've already spoken about it sometimes when I was preaching, you know, but God's really sorting my heart out. What is a family? A family is the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. No matter what you did, no matter what silly things, or not even that silly things, you did. That's what family is. So for us to be a family as a church, we need to get to that place where we can be a little bit more transparent and open to one another. Not just putting the best foot forward, but just being, you know, real. Because one of my friends came to me, he's actually a pastor, and he just said it's so sad that one of his friends, a good friend of his, cell leader, all of those good things, just came to him one day and said, our marriage is on the rocks. Now I'm asking, a cell leader in church with friends, getting to know about the problems in their marriage only when the popo hit the fan. It's silly. We can prevent stuff like that. If we start humbling ourselves saying, okay, I don't have the answers. I've got problems. I've got problems, okay? I'm not like perfect, even though I want you guys to think of me as Pastor Perfect. I'm not. God is still dealing with a lot of things in my life. Now, you know, sometimes people need to come in and talk to you straight. Jesus talked straight to a lot of people. We find one here in Matthew 19, verse 16. It's the rich young ruler, and it says, and behold, one came to him saying, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you call me good? There is no one good but one, and that is God. And Jesus, but Jesus said to him, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the young man said to him, I've kept all these things from my youth up to now. What do I lack still? Okay. Looking at this boy, I would have said, oh, you're such a good Christian. Go in peace, make disciples. Because he's done all the things right. He's done everything right. And Jesus says to him, listen, there's one thing that you still lack. If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And then you shall have treasure in heaven. And then you come and you follow me. Ooh. It says that this guy was kind of sad because he had a lot of possessions. Jesus spoke into his heart and said, listen. He looked in there. He said, everything you've done right. You know, you've done all the things that looks right to people. There's just one problem. There's a battle in your heart going on. God, mammon. You choose. Are you going to serve wealth and riches? Or are you going to serve God? That's kind of hard questions. And just like that, Jesus comes to all of us, like he's coming to me now, saying, Deval, where are you at? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it because you want to build a great church? So that people can come and say, "Woo, look at this great church." Or are you doing this because you love me? And even if it stays 15, 20 people in evening service here, will you do that till you drop? So the question that Jesus asked this man is a hard one. But when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, when you consider this, what would you have done? When this guy comes into your, and he comes into church and he asks you this question and you tell him that, and he walks away, will you let him go? You know, sometimes we just want to, no. Come back, just come sit here. I meant it, but I didn't really mean it. Jesus didn't go and fetch the guy and said, okay. It was just a figure of speech. No, Jesus let him go so that he can sort out the real issues that are in his heart. So when he looks in that mirror, then he knows, okay, I serve God. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, to fear man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in Jehovah shall be safe. And then, you submit yourself to what you fear. Maybe you should just think about that for a while. You submit yourself to the things that you fear, willingly or unwillingly. So it's better to fear God than anything else. Okay, second song tonight. I've got 10 minutes. Ooh. Meatloaf. Okay, I'm a little bit older here, but anyway. Meatloaf sings that song. Objects in the rearview mirror may appear closer than they are. I don't know if any of... Who's heard that song? Hallelujah. I think, Deval, do you know what the CD is called on which that song is? Bat Out of Hell. And you are a pastor and you are preaching this here from the pulpit. Come on. Anyway, well, that line gives away just my second point tonight. What are the things that are looking at you in your rear mirror? What are the things that's at in your past, that forms your view of what you're seeing right now? And this can be positive or negative. For most of us, it's negative. And a lot of things that has happened, that brings us to that place where everything that we see in this life gets filtered through that thing that happened to us. But anyway, The other one is it can be positive things. You're sitting here today, we've just been through a major economic crisis, and now you are all nostalgic about the successes of the past. Hallelujah. You know what? I had 15 cars. Now I've got none. I had this. I had that. And it's a ooh and ah and all that. But you're constantly looking back. Being held captive by the things that are in your rearview mirror. And they may appear closer than they are. So, get them to not just appear closer. Get the appearance away. Let them get far back. Now, Paul says here, speaking about those things. Philippians 3 verse 8, he says, but no rather, I also count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them, and you know, this translation, the modern King James Version, it's kind of cool, because it's going straight to the point. I count them to be dung, so that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God that is by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, other were I already perfect, okay, and then he says all these heavy things, but I am pressing on, so that if I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Okay, so maybe I'll just read that again for those of you who went to sleep now. Go and think about this. So that I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Are you aspiring to take hold of the things for which Jesus has taken hold of you? Or are you just floating? Going on with the things. Jesus has taken hold of you because of something. Just go and figure that out. But then, he says there, my brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do. Okay? And this is what you need to remember from everything that I've just read. Forgetting the things that is behind and reaching forward to the things that is before. So tonight, if you're sitting here and you've got stuff in your past, good or bad, I'm not saying. It's good and you can remember it and it's wonderful. And it's wonderful to build a memorial for God when he's come through for you. But don't stay there. Do not stay bound up in the things of the past, your successes or your failures. Because when you do, you will get a warped vision of things that is to come. And before you get yourself, you're sitting there and, yeah, you'll be like Rick van Winkel. He's sleeping for 1,000 years. Guess who's got a boy that's 10 months old? Karika Kissenkamp is singing for me every day. Rick van Winkel. Anyway. But looking back constantly lulls us to sleep. And we cannot lay hold of the things that Jesus has laid hold of us for. So let go of the things that is in the past. I know it's hurt sometimes. I know that. Go to God and let him help you to sort and deal with those things so that you can be free of them. Then, finishing tonight, my third song, one of my favorites. I'm looking to the man in the mirror. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm asking him to change his ways. That is the second part. You know, sometimes these people that are really off the road, they kind of take things together. Well, so I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways. So I'm doing this with all the songs tonight. So, you know, 3 months from now, then you're going to hear one of these songs. And then you're going to remember. And as you're singing the song, you remember, okay, there's some things I need to do. But anyway, let me read you in Romans 7, verse 15. And again, Paul speaking here. For that which I do, I know not. For what I desire, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent to the law that that is good. But now it is no more that I that do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. So he says that the will to do it is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will that I do. Okay, and then he goes on with this whole thing of doing and not doing and want to do, but I cannot do. And kind of looks like a confused little thing. And he goes there in verse 23 and he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" But what is Paul talking about here? He's looking in the mirror. He's looking at that man in the mirror. And he's speaking to that man in the mirror. Because, you know, even in our fallen state, you know, we still have desire and a will. God has given us a desire, and you know, sometimes we think, yes, but desire is all bad. No. God has given us desire because He wants us to desire Him. We just, in our fallen state, gone off and, you know, put our desire in all of other things, a whole lot of things. But God wants us to desire Him. Now, we can overcome because we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, this body of death that we're in. And speaking to the man in the mirror, I've learned, starting to learn. Weird how you get older, you learn stuff. Hallelujah. Go figure. But, you know, we've got habits and disciplines in our lives. And you know, it's kind of weird, but when we look naturally, and like Lucilla spoken this morning, when we look naturally, it's so easy. What do you need to have a healthy body? And then everybody said all the things. Eat right, exercise, you know, do all those things. Drink water, duh. But when it comes, okay, and I'm speaking to Devalia too, so please, don't feel condemned. When it comes to spiritual things, now we get all cuckoo. Now God must fix it with His wand, just like that. Fix me, Jesus, now. And then, you know, Jesus kind of looks at you and says, yeah, I've already fixed you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Just enter into that place where your spirit has been fixed. And then you start fixing the stuff in your life from that place of authority, which I have given to you. By changing Romans 2, verse 12, verse 2, what does it say? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Start thinking differently. Start having different habits in your life. You know, just that's part of my 3-week thing. You know, when I got here, I just had this habit of when I drive, I think Victoria gets to my house at about 8:15. Then she looks after my nut. Then I leave the house. And I drive just into, you know, when you go there where we stay, you can drive to that farm over there, there where the reservoirs are. So I drive over there, and then I just go and sit in the field. Just sit. No Bible, no nothing. And I just experience God. And I've done it, you know, as a habit. And then, the last 3 weeks, you know, kind of got tired of doing it. And then, after 2 weeks of that, I sit there and I think, oh, I'm missing something. And God just had to speak to me again. He said, Deval, come into you the habits and the disciplines that will make you effective, make your spirit well. Because what is a discipline? A discipline is something that you do so that you can do something else that you cannot do just by trying. Please explain, Deval. Okay, I don't know what toonlere is. Please help me in English. Toonlere. Scales. Hallelujah. So you need to do scales when you want to be a musician and play the keyboard. Have you heard that? Oh. My sister did all these things, and it really got to me, as you can hear. But it is a discipline that she needs to do so that she can do Bach, Beethoven, all of those wonderful, wonderful things that come out of a piano. But if you do not do your disciplines right, you will not do that. So that's what a discipline is. So for you to do this major thing with God, one day, or wherever, you need to get your disciplines in order. And the Deval is there, okay? I'm getting back there. Spending time with God alone. Reading the Word. Praying. Fasting sometimes. All of those things. Serving. That makes you healthy spiritually. But we are silly and stupid. So, when Michael Jackson sings again somewhere, looking to that man in the mirror, then you ask that man to change his ways. Because your ways that you are in at the moment, have you, you know, it's got you in the place where you are. If you've got good disciplines and habits, you'll be in a good place. Even though all the circumstances and stuff is not favorable to you. So this is not a happening, it's not a feeling, it's not something that needs to happen around you that makes you feel this way. It's something that you do and where you get to by doing those disciplines and things with God that is not reliant on any external happening. So when he sings again, you ask that man in the mirror, when you stand there in the morning, change your ways. And we are very quick to say, yeah, but you know, I'm so busy, Deval. You know, so busy, busy, busy. Make time. You will be busy, and then you'll drop dead. And then you haven't made time for the things that really count. And we are here for so long on this earth. I was starting to think that last, you know, while, just what heaven will be like. It's not going to be an internal worship service. We're going to do stuff. We're going to work. I do not know what we're going to do exactly, but I know. Jesus said, my Father is at work always. So we're going to work. There's a lot of planets that needs to be habitated in this universe. And I'm finishing tonight. I'm a little bit over my time. But it's nothing compared to Lucille this morning. So, hallelujah. But anyway, it wasn't her fault complete. It was mine too. Well, let's say it's God's fault. It starts in your mind. And I've already read, or you quoted for me, Romans 12 verse 2. What do you think about what other people say? Is it necessary for you to change your mind about that? What do you think about the things that are in your rearview mirror? Is it necessary for you to start thinking differently about those things? And then, lastly, what do you think about what you want to say to your man or woman that's standing in the mirror? Do you want to ask that person to change his ways? I do. And then you might say to me, Jesus, the Bible's so hard, you know, whatever. I said, listen, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. No temptation has taken you but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able to do. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape, so that you may be able to bear it. Okay, so this is in the context of temptations, but you can put it in the context of whatever. When you want to change something, God will give you the ability to do it. But you need to be disciplined in that. So let's stand tonight. Let's close our eyes in there. Yeah, and I'm just going to pray for us tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can just come to you, Lord God, as your children, Lord. And Lord, we come into your presence boldly, Lord. Lord, we say that we are nothing, Lord God, without you and Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we can stand, Lord, in the righteousness, Lord, that you have worked for us. But Lord, tonight, we know, Lord God, that we are sinners, Lord God. And like Paul said, Lord God, oh, who's going to deliver me from this wretched body of sin? Father, we want to come, Lord God. We want to just stand in the mirror, Lord God. And thank you for the mirror of your word, Lord. But we want to stand in that place, Lord God. And we want to look at the man and the woman in the mirror, Lord. And we want to ask him to change his ways, Lord. And if you're standing here tonight, then whatever I said, something that Lord has laid in your heart, you know, if you've got a problem with just constantly worrying about what other people think of you, or that there's things that's in your rearview mirror that you just can't let go of, then tonight, you know, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but just raise your hand high for God to see, and then we're going to pray and ask God to change those things in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, as your children, Lord, and Father, we take your word, Lord God, that says that we must not be conformed to this world, Lord, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would come tonight, Lord God, and help us to start, Lord, to renew our minds, Lord God, about all these things, Lord God. Lord, what other people think of us, Lord God. Father, we ask that you would just release us, Lord God, from just the whole, Lord God, that has in our lives, Lord God. Lord, that we can do, Lord God, no matter what other people will think of us. Lord, that we will know, Lord God, that you look at us, Lord God, and you smile. And Father, you see every hand raised here, Lord God. And I ask, Lord, that you would just give us that boldness, Lord God, to do what you ask us to do, Lord God, and not to worry about what other people will think of us. And Father, those things in our past, Lord God, that constantly bugs us, Lord God. Lord, the bad thing that has happened, Lord God, in the past, that changes our worldview, Lord, and even the successes, Lord God. Lord, we come and we lay that down before you tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just come and you would touch us, Lord, and you would heal us by your Holy Spirit in those places, Lord. But Father, that more than that, Lord God, we can come to that place, Lord God, where Paul says, Lord, that I just make myself loose from everything that's in the past. And I stretch myself forward to that which is to come. Lord Jesus, that we can just lay a hold, Lord, of those things for which you have laid hold of each and every one of us. And that we can do that, Lord God, with freedom in our hearts. And we bless you, Lord God, that we can stand here, Lord, and we can say this in faith. And thank you, Lord God, that as we speak, Lord, as I pray, Lord God, that you would come into every spirit, Lord God. And Father, I ask that you strengthen, Lord God, the weak knees, Lord God, the feeble knees, Lord God, and the hanging arms. And Father, that by your Spirit, Lord God, you just come and energize us, Lord God, that we can stand and let, in our disciplines, as we get them right, Lord God, Father, that our spirit man, Lord God, will become stronger and stronger and stronger, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that you help us all the way, because you said, Lord, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we bless you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming tonight. If you have any prayer needs, please come to the front. I will be glad to pray with you, and there will be other people here too.